following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Miller Lite.
From Hallis Hall, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Pleased to be joined by a couple of veteran players from the Bears locker room, the linebacker Nick Roach, cornerback slash nickelback Kelvin Hayden. I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you with us. Boy, one primetime game to another, which means the schedule is all kind of out of whack. But do you like it? Because if you're playing on primetime, that generally means you've got a good football team.
I agree. I mean, anytime you get a primetime game that the fans, not only in Chicago, but national-wise, that people want to watch is always big.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, there's nothing like playing night games. Especially when they mean as much as they do now this time of year.
Yeah, huge implications between the Bears and 49ers going forward for home field and all that kind of stuff. But can you even allow yourself to get caught up in that kind of stuff? Or do you truly narrow it down to, here's a guy I got to stop. This is what my fundamental rules are when I get on the field. Is it really just that simple?
Yeah, I think I can honestly say that, you know, we don't have the approach to where we're thinking that far ahead, because if you don't take care of what's in front of you, then, you know, all that means nothing real fast.
So. Okay, you take on another superstar running back. You had one last week in Arian Foster. This week it's Frank Gore. What changed in that second half of the Texans game where you were able to get tight on defense, kind of slow down what the Texans were able to do?
Well, I let Nick handle the run game. That's his thing.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I think we made a couple of minor adjustments, but we really just we were able to get the penetration we were looking for. Our D-line, you know, they balled out. So we were able to get in the backfield and kind of knock them off track as far as the linemen that they were trying to get running and everything. And, you know, guys just started making plays.
So early on in the game, the first half, the Texans were kind of shoving you guys out of the way.
You know, you got to give them a lot of credit, you know, because they have a really good scheme. They're coachable and they do it well. So they, you know, just came down. They were executing. You know, a couple times we were sealed off on the backside or didn't get an edge set. You know, we missed a few tackles too. And when you got a good running back, it shows up.
Nick Roach, Kelvin Hayden, our guests here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner to the Bears All Access show. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. You know, when you look at all the different responsibilities that you have defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, San Francisco, they like to do very, very similar. They like to pound it with the running game, and then, you know, off play action, they can hurt you with the passing game. Similar type of team in terms of the philosophy, but very different in how they run it, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree. San Francisco do a good job of what they do. They do what they do, and they want to get the run game going and set up the play action. And once they set up the play action, they try to make big plays with the good receivers that they have, as far as Randy Moss, a couple of core guys that got to go into the scouting report again. But, you know, Randy Moss, the one to kind of jump off the charts, the veteran guy who's been, you know, proven in this league and still can play.
Yeah, they can definitely make plays if you let them do that. Now, I want to hit some of the big topics that have been talked about this week, kind of outside Hallis Hall, and I wonder what it's like inside the building. You know, concussions, a very hot topic because both quarterbacks are dealing with it, both in San Francisco and here with the Bears. As players, how do you rationalize it? Because you know there's a risk every time you put the helmet on and take the field that it could happen to you.
Well, you guys got to understand that it comes with the territory. I mean, it's a violent game, violent and exciting game that us as players, you know, bought into it when we were kids. So we're kind of, you know, familiar with the situation that comes to hand, but, you know, you just got to understand it comes with the territory, and you want to try to protect yourself the best way you can, but, you know, with the violence and the aggression of the sport, it comes with it.
I mean, you can't make it 100% safe from that standpoint.
No, I mean, I think the football, if you honestly sit down and think about it, tackle football is 100% chance you'll get hurt if you play it, you know, so just knowing that, whether it's your head or whether it's your ankle, knee, arm, you know, it's just, there's something that's going to happen to you. if you play for a while.
And then, you know, take us through what happens when you get dinged up, and your natural inclination is, I got to fight this, because that's, you wouldn't be a successful player if you're not that kind of tough. So how do you balance that out?
And you mean like concussions being different about it, or
yeah, being, or just, you know, because it's different than an ankle. Mm-hmm. You can try and fight through an ankle.
Yeah, it's hard because I guess they're hard to diagnose, and everybody has different symptoms, you know. So it's so case by case, and it's obviously the one muscle that you can't see to be able to evaluate it. So it's hard to go forward, but you just have to play it out and, you know, take it one day and just honestly see how you feel.
Is it tough to admit it when the medical staff is checking you out?
Yeah, I think in the heat of the moment as well, because you want to be out there. I mean, you want to be out there fighting with your teammates, and, you know, your adrenaline is pumping, and, you know, you just don't want to be that guy that goes down. But unfortunately, you know, you have to be smart about the situation. And like Nick said, every situation is handled different, and you just don't know. So you got to, you know, go through the right procedures, which will be with the doctors and things, and let them determine.
With Kelvin Hayden and Nick Roach here on Bears All Access, that's the other thing. Like, if you see a teammate on the field, I mean, because you guys know, you've been around for a while, you know when someone, you know, is taking a hit. Mm-hmm. Do you steer them to the sideline, or do you just let them kind of fight through it, and then it's up to the doctors to pull them off the field?
I think in my experience, you know, you look out for your teammate above all. You know, if you win the game, obviously that's what we're all out there to do. But if you see a guy take a hard hit, the first thing you say is, you're all right, you know. Or if a guy's laying on the ground, you tell them, hey, stay down. They'll come and get you. So we're never trying to turn our shoulder to a guy that maybe got hit too hard, or, you know, try to play it off.
Do you worry about the future? I mean, post-football.
Sometimes. You know, it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, you don't know what the future holds, so you kind of, like, just kind of caught in the moment. But the same thing, you want to be aware and informed on what the future holds as well.
Right, because you both are smart guys. Mm-hmm. You know, so you hear what's being reported, and you see some of the older players. Mm-hmm. Do you treat yourself differently now because of what you know?
I'm not sure. I think it's hard to – I think once you become a football player, you can only play one way.
I agree.
And so once you have your style of play, if you were to try to change that, especially at this kind of phase, I'm not sure if it would be successful.
Yeah, I can tell just in talking. Mm-hmm. It's a tough issue to kind of, you know, in your head to rationalize, because you love the game. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, on the backside, there could be some serious consequences. Nick Roach, Kelvin Hayden, our guests here on Bears All Access. When we come back, it's the hometown kid. You got to find out of all his hot spots here in Chicago. Yeah. And it's got to be cool to be wearing the navy blue and orange now that you're doing it for the first time as a pro. Hayden Roach, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Along with Nick Roach and Kelvin Hayden, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zaidman with you here from Hallis Hall. Before we get to the hometown kid being back home, it's time now to select our Gibson's Player of the Week, brought to you by Gibson's Bar and Steakhouse. The player these guys select will receive a $500 gift card to Gibson's. And for helping pick that player, both Nick Roach and Kelvin Hayden get a $100 gift card to Gibson's, the best meal in town. So I need your vote. I'm thinking, you know, it's not a long list this week. Mm-hmm. You can either go with Tim Jennings, mm-hmm. who two picks, still leads the NFL in interceptions with 8, which is more than he had coming into the season for his entire career. That's impressive. Or Brian Urlacher. Every single game now, you're starting to see a little bit more of Brian Urlacher, mm-hmm. and he's making his presence known. So you guys are defensive players. You have an appreciation for these guys. Got one corner, got one linebacker. Duke it out. Who's the player of the week?
Nick, you know who I'm going with.
There's a little bias there. Yeah, you can't ask definitely. Two guys from each room.
No, but you guys are both team guys. I mean, it's about the team first.
But it's about your position group once you get on.
Okay, so give me the argument for Tim Jennings.
Okay, Tim Jennings, of course, everybody's saying that he had two picks. But, you know, it's just sometimes it's not what you do, it's how you do it. I mean, he was on the details. I mean, he can easily been out of position for the second interception. Easily, but, you know, he was staying on top of in his coverage, and it's just Johnny on the spot type of situation. And that's sometimes the reward you get when you're just doing your job. And the second one was, you know, the he was a great he was a man to man coverage, great break, great catch, and you know both times he tried to make something happen with it. So,
yeah,
you know,
and one time one of the linebackers in your room took him out of the play, right?
He took himself out.
Well, 12-on-10
took himself out of the play.
You know, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, you know, there seemed to be, and you guys see the other angle where you see everybody on the field. It appeared as though, at least from my vantage on the sideline, that Jennings likely would have scored had
if he didn't run into Lance.
Number 55.
If he ran into Lance.
Well, you tell me what happened. Be realistic.
I wasn't looking at that.
Honestly,
part
I think that I think Charles has two interception return for touchdown. Lance has two. I didn't think they wanted any
company.
See,
that's what I was thinking at the same time,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Could be true.
All right. So, and Nick, you're in the same room with Brian Urlacher. Ton of respect because he is the face of the franchise.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, like Kelvin said, it's not necessarily what you do, but how you do it. If you know, look at Brian's game last week, he was flying. Like, he had a lot of TFLs for minus
those are tackles
minus
for
big
losses.
Yards,
yeah.
You know, minus 6, 7, 8 yards in the backfield. He's turnaround tackles all over. I mean, sideline to sideline. It was pretty much a textbook middle linebacker game, I think.
Would you make the case that because Brian Urlacher was doing what he's doing, there were opportunities for guys on the back end?
I agree. I mean, it all starts with Brian. It starts with the call. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to keep it real. It starts with the call, and Brian does a great job of getting guys lined up. And I know I'm at the nickel back. He's always talking to me, watch the play action, watch the draws, and things like that, just to, you know, keep me on, you know, keep me in the mind frame of what's going on in overall defense. So, like I said, Brian, he does a great job of getting guys lined up. And like Nick said, that, you know, he had a lot of tackles for loss. You know, he was on his game. He was flying around.
Well, if you're the quarterback of the defense, you got to give it to him. I mean, you just made the argument, and I'm sure Tim wouldn't be mad at you because, you know, when Brian Urlacher's playing the way he did, you took a team that was averaging nearly 30 points per game last week, team to 13.
Yeah. I'm not changing my pick.
I have to be the judge here, and I listen to both arguments. I'm going to go with Brian Urlacher as the Gibson's Player of the Week. So Brian Urlacher gets a $500 gift card to Gibson's, the best meal in town. But you guys also get to go to Gibson's, so don't fret.
I wanted to go with Tim. We were going to split. You know?
I mean, he can eat for 50 bucks, right? With Kelvin Hayden and Nick Roach here on Bears All Access, I do want to talk a little bit more about Urlacher because I think something gets lost, and I talked about this last week when I interviewed him on the pregame show, and I said, you know, I think because you've been such a great athlete throughout your entire career, people have not given you the proper respect for the intelligence that you display on the field. And he goes, what, I'm not athletic anymore? And I go, you know what I mean. And it's true, though, almost like a veteran pitcher in baseball, where the fastball might not be 100 miles an hour, but he's got crafty little ways to get you out. Urlacher can anticipate where things are going to go. So you might not need that pure speed that he had early on in his career. Is that right?
I agree, because when you're young, you're just playing off of like athleticism and speed. But once you become a veteran guy, you know, it's nothing kind of that you've never seen before. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you're more on the details of things, and your recognition of things is much faster. So it's just like you're playing as fast as you were when you were younger, instead of a young guy who's kind of slow mentally but playing fast physically. So it just kind of just flips a little bit, does a whole 180 in. You know, like Brian is one of those guys that gets the job done.
And you've played the position. You know, you're the primary backup to Brian at the middle linebacker position, Nick. This guy knows where every single person on that defense has to be based on every situation.
Yeah, so it's really unbelievable. You know, you take for granted the fact that the guy's been doing it at the highest level for 13 years, and it shows up all the time. You know, like probably 75% of the time, if he wanted to call out what the offense is going to do before they did it, he would probably be right.
Sure.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he just knows, you know, how the defense is going to be attacked and what's probably coming.
You know who has that kind of knowledge when it comes to the city of Chicago?
Me?
Yeah, Kelvin Hayden.
Kelvin Hayden.
I mean, what's it like to be – did you grow up a Bears fan first and foremost?
No doubt. I had no choice. No choice.
Because a lot of people are here, and they don't grow up Bears fans, you know, and they end up – but you were a diehard Bears fan.
Yes.
Do you remember, like, who you used to root for? Who were your guys?
When I was a kid, one of my Christmas presents, I had to be maybe 5 or 6 years old. My mom got me the little Toys R Us football package you can get with the helmet and the shoulder pad.
Right.
And I had a Walter Payton jersey. So I grew up, and I always, and people in the neighborhood used to call me Walter Payton because I used to walk around with my helmet and my shoulder pad all the time. So, yeah, it, I mean, it's cool being here with the hometown team, growing up a Bears fan. So I know and understand what the tradition is all about. And I know what being a Bears fan is all about.
You grew up on the southwest side, right?
South side of Chicago.
South side of
mm-hmm.
Chicago. Then you go to Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you end up at U of I
mm-hmm.
in Illinois. And you go to Indianapolis. And it's pretty cool just to be an NFL player,
yes.
playing at a high level. You win a championship. We won't talk mm-hmm. about how. Anyway, yes. then you end up here,
yeah.
right? And, well, no, I do want to talk about how, because I can't imagine – your family and friends were happy with you when
mm-hmm.
the Colts beat the Bears in Super Bowl 41.
My friends, and my family is more happy for me personally.
Because you got the ring.
Yeah, but not the team overall. You know, before the game, everyone was saying that they wished that I did well, but, you know, they want the Bears to come out on top. They was just talking about how Grant Park was going to be all crazy and stuff like that. So, but it was pretty cool, you know, pretty cool being a kid from Chicago and playing against your hometown team. I'm just happy that we came out on top. Sorry, Bears fan. You know, I'm a Bears fan myself, but, you know, I personally wanted the Super Bowl just because, you know, it's just a pinnacle in your career. And, you know, me personally, you know, you want, as the game gets older and you get older and you look back, you just want to have all the accolades and all the bragging rights you can have.
And you got to experience both sides of it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you won one, you lost one.
True.
And you know that when you lose one, man, there's nothing worse in the game, I think, going to that loser locker room after a Super Bowl.
I'm still not over that. It just seems how when the clock is zero, they shove the losing team out the way. So, it's like, there's nothing for you. Like, this is not for you. So, but, you know, it was rough. And my whole thing is I want to get back, you know, because the bad taste is in my mouth. And, you know, and I think, you know, this team has the, you know, the right tools and the right personnel to get back. Is just the point of us staying healthy, going out there, being on the details week in and week out. And like Nick said, don't look past anybody. You know, just take it one game at a time and see what happens.
More with Kelvin Hayden and Nick Roach here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Annual Chicago Bears and Jewel Osco Coat Drive by donating winter coats through December 16th to Jewel Osco stores in the Chicagoland area. Coats will benefit the Salvation Army and public schools in Chicago. Visit ChicagoBears.com for more information. With linebacker Nick Roach and cornerback Kelvin Hayden here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I'm Zach Zabin here at Hallis Hall. We were talking, reminiscing about probably your most exciting moment as a professional athlete, which is when you won the Super Bowl against the Bears.
My second, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then second, what was the first?
Just getting drafted.
That's but, more exciting than winning the championship?
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, you know, you're growing up and, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen, especially after your college career. Nothing's guaranteed. And, you know, just the point of just knowing that you set out for a dream and it actually is, you know, the start of it is right here in front of your eyes. I think that was the most overwhelming, and just seeing, you know, my family reaction and just me personally knowing that hard work does pay off.
Is that true? Do you feel that way, Nick?
I think that's a draft pick response. I wouldn't know how that feels.
Yeah, but hey, see, yeah. I would think all the – and Nick was an undrafted free agent, ended up in San Diego, and then eventually came to the Bears, and I think it's worked out quite well for you here. But I think what – when I look at the amount of work that you guys put in, I'm mm-hmm. talking about it. As soon as the vacation ends and you guys begin all the off-season stuff, the sweat, the constant working out, the pain that you have to go through
mm-hmm.
training camp, throughout the week, recovering from games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want the prize at the end of all of that, right?
Of course. Yeah, that's why you do it.
I mean, it's nice to be in the league. Congratulations.
Yeah.
A lot of people end up in the league, not,
mm-hmm.
and it's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very small percentage to get to hoist that Lombardi trophy.
I agree. There was a guy in Atlanta when I was just in Atlanta last year. And a guy go by the name of Tony Gonzalez, arguably one of the greatest tight ends ever to play the game, but never won a playoff game. So
think about that.
You know, it's an honor to make it to the playoffs, but yet alone win the whole tournament. So, you know, it's something that you just don't take for granted. And, you know, and as you, like I said, as you get older and you look back on your career, it's something that you can always look back at and say, you know, I was the champion.
When you picked off Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl, you know, we were talking about it during the break. Do you think Mohsin Mohamed had a chance at tackling you?
No one had a chance at tackling me. after you know, the game and stuff, you know, I probably looked at that play maybe one time. No, I'm lying. maybe over 100 times.
Yeah, come on.
It looked like he had a chance, you know, but, you know, I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he thought I stepped out of bounds. Maybe he thought, you know, a whistle was blown. I don't know. But,
did you?
I didn't step out of bounds. Proven.
Now, then you end up here, and, you know, for a while you weren't sure that you could continue your career, right? You had the neck injury.
Yes.
So was there a point where you thought this is all gone?
Yes, I definitely thought. When I got released by Indianapolis due to the injury or whatever, I visited a couple teams, and, you know, everybody was saying the same thing, kind of like, oh, it's still kind of early with your injury. So we just want to, you know, make sure everything's all right. And then, you know, we'll be calling back in maybe a couple weeks and stuff like that. So I just really didn't think a team would even give me opportunity. So I actually went back to my high school, talked a couple of things with my high school coach, telling him that I was thinking about hanging it up. And, you know, I still wanted to be a part of football, and I wanted to coach. And, you know, he opened up, you know, his doors with open arms. But then Atlanta called, and, you know, I told my agent, I was kind of like, I don't know. He was like, is this something, you know, you want to do or whatever? And I was like, yeah, I give it a try. So I went out there with the workout with Atlanta, and, you know, they told me that they wanted me. They had a guy who had the similar injury, so they was kind of familiar with things. And I went down there, and, you know, I appreciate the opportunity they gave me.
Yeah, it was. Remember, you tried out for the Bears before you ended up going to Atlanta, and I don't think you passed the physical.
Yeah, they
said
I didn't pass the physical.
Right. So, but you end up going to the Falcons. Ended up being the best thing for you because the rest of the league saw that you could play.
Still play. Yeah.
And then you finally, would you consider this on the list of things you've done in your career, coming back home?
That has to be number three. We had talked about one and two.
Right.
Number three, just like I said, being a kid from Chicago, playing for the hometown team and being a fan. And like, I think my family's more happy than I am, that they're able to see me every Sunday and don't even have to, you know, take a drive or take a flight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just happy and honored. I'm happy for them.
That's a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah. You know, they can live the same experience that I'm living through me.
When you put on the uniform for the first time and went through the tunnel at Soldier Field as a Bear,
because
I didn't ask you about this, so it couldn't have been just an ordinary game for you.
It wasn't. You know, I was kind of like, you know, this is the thing that, you know, when I was a kid and I played at Soldier Field against De La Salle and Joliet Catholic, I said the next time that I would be here, I want to play pro football here. You know, I didn't say I wanted to be a Bear or anything, but I said I wanted to play pro football in the Soldier Field. So, but actually, just running through the tunnel and with a Bears uniform on, it was touching. It was a touching moment for me personally, my family. I had over 25 people there, you know, close friends, coaches, you know. So, you know, it was an exciting moment for me, and, you know, it's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, it brings it all back together. Now, Nick, you grew up in Milwaukee, close enough, but I don't think you were a Packers fan, were you?
No.
And you weren't a Bears fan.
Mm-mm.
You were just a fan of players?
I was just playing sports.
You're one of those guys. See, I find that so hard to,
it is,
you know?
I don't know. Honestly, my family just wasn't crazy fanatic sports fans. My uncles were, like all my mom's brothers, they grew up playing basketball, but we just had so much other stuff as kids that we liked to do, like playing not just out in the alley and doing all type of stuff.
So it was the competition more so than anything else.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Or my mom, basically, she put it like this, you know, either you play sports or you get a job. And I really wasn't into working at that time.
Yeah, so I agree.
I was like, I'm going
to
just get
on
this
team. Smart enough to do it, though.
Yeah.
You talk to most of the team, and I'll let Kelvin decide because he's been around. They say that Nick right now could be the smartest guy in the locker room, the Northwestern grad.
They call him the natural. I mean,
oh,
a lot
do
of
they?
People don't know that. They call him the natural. I'm not sure why they call him the natural, but I hear that
sure
he never makes a mental mistake, I should say. You know, he's one of those guys that's always on the detail, doing his job, and it surprises you sometimes because it'd be so many things that reads that I think, me personally, I would have looked at it a different way from Nick. But Nick is always on the detail.
Yeah, I want to, and we might get into this a little bit later on. I just think that everyone talks about the Bears defense being, quote, simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you guys can play it at the high level you play it unless you understand the complexities within the simplicity of the defense. Because to play it right and to play it the way you guys do, there's a lot of different things you got to know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially as a linebacker. And, you know, I praise the linebackers right here because they have run pass keys. They hitting them with bootlegs.
Right.
They,
so
all,
that's,
everything.
Well,
you know?
We'll go to the example against the Texans because there's so much that I think you need to know in order to play that team effectively. So we'll hit that when we come back. But first and foremost, guess what's coming up next? Yeah, you know it. Are you a Bears authority?
Yep.
Nick Roach is a master of this game.
We'll see.
He's playing coy, but I think one of the reasons they think he's the smartest guy in the locker room is because he dominates this thing. Kelvin, but you're a Bears fan, so there's a lot of knowledge in your head here.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we will play Are You a Bears Authority? Brought to you by Sports Authority with Nick Roach and Kelvin Hayden on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Subway, Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago. And Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And this Sunday, I believe you can see Brian Urlacher in the Mic'd Up segment from the Houston game. And we talked earlier about the tremendous game that Urlacher had against the Texans. It's always cool to hear Urlacher mic'd because you get to see him and hear him in a way that you rarely do. And the way that you guys see on the field is why you have so much respect for him. With Kelvin Hayden and Nick Roach here on Bears All Access, I'm Zach Sabin. Are you ready for the highest rated segment of this radio program?
Bears ready.
Yes, it's called Are You a Bears Authority? It's sponsored by Sports Authority, and here it is. It's real simple. I ask you a question. If you know the answer, you hit your buzzer. If you get it right, we move on to the next question. If you get it wrong, the other guy gets an opportunity to answer. And whoever's got the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Kelvin, you're going to be playing for James Davis from Chicago. And, Nick, you're going to be playing for Matthew Kraft of Barrington.
What's up, James?
Yeah, and there you go. And, Nick, keeping quiet because he's not about bragging. You know, he's just all about results. And if you're listening right now and you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN, click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our past shows. Ready?
Yep.
Boy, they both have their hands on the buzzer. You can tell this is going to be intense. Question one, which of these Bears players did not go to high school in the state of Texas? Roberto Garza, Henry Melton, Brian Urlacher, Jamarcus Webb. Nick.
Brian didn't, right?
Correct. Did you ask a question or did he
Brian
answer?
Didn't.
Yes. So
right?
Nick has a 1-0 lead, which means Matthew Kraft of Barrington has a 1-0 lead over James Davis from Chicago. Kelvin's going to have to rally from behind. Question two. The Bears currently lead the NFC in turnover differential. What is the Bears' differential number? Kelvin.
Plus 14.
Correct. Oh, we've got a good one here.
I didn't know that one. So
yes, that's because, again, you're not about stats. You're about you just like to play the game.
I just know we're plus.
Here we go. Question three. Which current Bears player played for the 49ers a year ago? Kelvin.
Blake Costanzo.
Correct.
Oh. Hey, hold up. We had two choices though, right?
Yeah, he got one of them right.
Wow.
Don't be mad.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
He ain't even, that wasn't one of the choices though.
Who's the other one?
Shallow.
Yes. Shallow Rachel did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go.
Definitely.
Question four. Name two Bears on the current active roster whose last names begin with the letter W. Kelvin.
Hold on. Anthony Walters.
That's one.
Is there a time limit on this?
Yeah, and Webb. Jamarcus Webb.
Yes, he got it right.
Was it?
Don't be mad.
He was talking the whole
time. How long
do
you get?
We get this. If there's dead silence and you know the guy has no clue, which has happened before. Actually, I believe a couple of weeks ago we asked for the letter R and no one could get you. You know, because you're so quiet in that locker room. All right. So it's a commanding 3-1 lead right now for Nick Roach. I mean, excuse me, for Kelvin Hayden. Nick Roach has to come back here, which means James Davis from Chicago right now is feeling good. Matthew Kraft of Barrington is praying that Nick has a monster comeback here. Question number five. What year was center Roberto Garza drafted in? Nick?
He was drafted in 2001.
Incorrect.
2000.
Incorrect.
2002.
Oh, boy.
When was it?
Here we go. It was 2005.
What?
Which
No.
I don't believe is accurate, actually.
No,
That's the
that's
answer I
wrong.
have here. That is an incorrect answer.
Definitely. That's me.
That is an incorrect
Can we
answer.
research the real
So
answer? Let's see
here's
if
what we're
it's.
gonna do. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna eliminate that question, and I won't count it. We'll have another question
All right.
added at the end to
Thank
make
you.
sure that everything is on
So the game is
the
not
up and up.
rigged.
I'm looking at my judge here, and he gave me the wrong answer. All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, sorry about that. Question number six. Again, Kelvin Hayden, a 3-1 lead
We
over
got
Nick
that.
Roach.
We got
Yeah, I just want to point out
that.
Kelvin Hayden, a commanding 3-1 lead over Nick Roach. Question six. In what round of the 2009 NFL draft did the Bears pick Henry Melton? Nick.
Third round.
Incorrect.
Fourth round.
Fourth round.
And the game has been won
The
by
champ is
Kelvin Hayden.
here. The
Wow.
champ is here.
And Nick just threw a water bottle across the room. He is not happy. And by the way, do we have an answer to Roberto Garza in the year he was drafted? 2001.
Yeah.
Go figure.
So
Go figure.
We'll give you the point. It's 4-2.
Yeah.
But that's not.
Kelvin Hayden.
You know
just
what?
Makes you a little closer.
First of all,
yes.
The San Fran question was rigged anyway. Because
oh,
there's
so.
Two answers.
Okay. All
you didn't even read the list.
I didn't. I didn't. It wasn't a multiple choice question.
See, that's what I was waiting for.
Oh no.
I was waiting for the list.
But if it's a
you
multiple
know.
Choice question, I say multiple choice.
Well, you didn't.
Oh man, do you want to play for pride here
no,
and round out the game, or are you done?
I'm over it.
All right. Yeah. How many sacks did Peppers have last year?
Don't know.
13.
Don't care.
Six. But he's
don't matter.
Nick, do we need to take a commercial break here to kind of? Yeah, we'll take a commercial break. Allow him to kind of cool off a little bit. It's tough. It's not fun when you lose this game, especially when you come in with high hopes. You know, as a reigning champion,
yeah.
I know you're feeling it. But congratulations, and I'm sure you would agree with this. Congratulations go out to James Davis from Chicago, courtesy of Kelvin Hayden,
James.
The Chicago kid helping another Chicago kid out,
yeah.
And he wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we will talk about why the Bears' defense, albeit simple, is complicated as well. Right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority with Roach and Hayden on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. It's your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. With Nick Roach and Kelvin Hayden, I'm Zach Sabin here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Boy, Nick is still steaming. Not happy that he lost RU a Bears Authority. Two losses in 1 week. That's not cool.
That'll be all right.
Will you?
Yeah.
Can you get through the rest of the show?
If we play another game, probably not.
Well, you're just going to have to come back on before the season is over and redeem yourself. All right, so one of the things that I think gets lost when people talk about the Bears defense, this is what I see, that I don't. People always go, they act surprised that the Bears are putting up all these numbers. They act surprised that, you know, the only thing the Bears defense does. I love this. You tell me what you think about it, because you've played in this system, not just here, but in Indy too. When people say, well, can you rely on this defense to get a turnover when they need one at a specific moment, as though you don't do the other things that you need to do defensively well? That's got to be insulting.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of this. But this defense is just basically everybody doing what they do. Everybody, you do your job and nothing more, nothing less. And the turnovers will come. I mean, you have guys who are ball hawks. You can see Tim Jennings.
He is the hawk.
Yeah, the hawk. And you got Genghis. And Charles Tillman, the guy's just going out there.
That's awesome. Why?
This is a nickname coach gave him, defensive coordinator Rob Marinelli gave him.
He's got a
Genghis.
Lot. Yeah, and what I love about what Marinelli does is that he basically identifies each player on the defense with a predator of some kind.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jesse Ventura. I'm talking about like a legit predator, an animal
mm-hmm.
that's on the attack.
Yeah.
So who are you?
I don't have a nickname yet.
Oh, come on.
I don't have a nickname yet. No, I don't. But yeah, the defense is Rob Marinelli always say the star of the defense is the defense, and you got 11 guys that's on the same page, guys running to the ball, guys trying to force turnovers and stripping at the ball, punching at the ball. And when the ball's in the air, you know, with the mentality that it's not the offensive ball, it's the defense ball. And when we get the ball on defense, everybody wants to score.
Yeah, Lovie Smith always says that just because the offense starts off with the ball doesn't mean that they have right to the possession of the ball once the play is started.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We want the ball. We want the ball every series. Coach Smith does a great job of putting the emphasis on when the game starts, we want a turnover or we want three and out. And we've been doing that lately. And guys are just responding to, you know, the coaches. And guys are just buying in general. I mean, you have 11 guys that's buying in to the same mentality, the same thought process. It can be dangerous.
Because you know it works. Mm-hmm. I think if you do something and you don't see success doing it, mm-hmm. that's when you start to question. But, I mean, you guys have been in it for a while. You, mm-hmm. you see that it works if you do it a certain way.
Yeah.
And, by the way, Nick, does that mean that you're a roach?
What does that supposed to mean?
I don't, like, with the predator. I mean,
the roach.
Yeah, what's his nickname? Come
I'm not
on.
Sure roaches are considered
the
predators.
It's the natural.
It's irrelevant.
That's yeah. It's irrelevant. But do you, when you see Marinelli put the predators up on the board during these meetings, in the videos, is there a lifelike kind of? Can you see the player morphing into that predator?
I guess it depends on who it is. You know, if it's like Pep and a big bear or something, yeah. That's a little more believable than TJ and a. A bird.
Yeah.
I agree. He's a hawk. He's got those hands, yeah. Man. I mean, the just, ball belongs
you know,
to him.
Similarity of figure. You know, yeah. Pep is more like a...
I like how Nick earlier, when you were yeah. talking about Tim Jennings being nicknamed the hawk, he had a sound effect for yeah. him.
Oh.
There's a lot of that going on. Yeah. I mean, he's got 8 picks. Who's got the weirdest predator associated with them?
That's a good question. Yeah. We got like some Nick pretty solid it. Predators.
What's yeah. Urlacher?
Yeah. Big guy.
Big guy.
Yeah, simple.
No, I don't mean nickname. I'm talking like...
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, not everybody has one, though. I mean, you get one if you, you know, are that for sure, but... Yeah.
Briggs is what? El Boogie?
Boogie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry. I didn't have the French accent there.
Yeah.
But, all right, interesting. I think that's... Now, the other thing that you see, when you watch a regular NFL game, it doesn't involve the Bears. The ball carrier, whether it's running back or the receiver, has the ball, and then you see, like, one guy shoot in there on the TV screen, tackle him. Maybe another guy hops in, tries to strip the ball. Mm-hmm. When you watch the Bears, there's immediately, within a split second, boom, there's a guy there, and then 4 other bodies, at least. Mm-hmm. That's why you're able to scoop the ball when someone pokes it out like you did in Tennessee. It's not an accident that things happen mm-hmm. the way they do.
No, not at all. You know, we feel like we call it a takeaway for a reason, because – you can wait for a turnover, or you can, you know, like Peanut. You see him do it all the time. He's literally taking the ball from people.
So the condition that you have to be in mm-hmm. to play in the Bears defense. I know Lovey likes to joke about how there are no fat guys on his defense, but you really have to be – because you played – both of you guys have played elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The shape that you were in those places, mm-hmm. I mean, compared to here, has to be night and day.
It's different because even if you get knocked down, you got to get up and run. Yeah. Whether otherwise they're just – let's find somebody else who will.
Yeah, like when I stepped out the defense last year when I was in Atlanta, it was nothing similar to this one as far as guys running to the ball and, you know, gang tackling and things of such, just being on the details as far as, okay, this is the guy's the free hitter. It was just more of a outlaw defense, more of a kind of a, you know, discreet, put together, detailed type of defense. So, you know, Coach Smith does a great job of, and Coach Marinelli does a great job of keeping guys in tune of what's important, and important is running to the ball because you don't know when a guy like Peanut or a big guy is going to knock the ball out or get an interception or something like that. And when guys run into the ball, that only helps when the turnover happens, recovering it or even recovering it and scoring. That's the difference right there with guys running to the ball. So, like I say, every day in practice, we practice it, and when it comes to game day, it's just something that comes out
the record,
natural.
Yeah, there you go. I like how – I wish you guys could have seen what Kelvin just did. Goes natural and then looks right at Nick Roach because that's his nickname. How much do you guys want to break the record for interception returns in the season 9 by the 1961 Chargers and then non-offensive touchdowns? That includes special teams as well. 10, the record by the Seahawks, mm-hmm. I think, in 98
yeah.
or 2008.
Well, I feel you don't play this game forever, and the more accolades you have, the better. And, you know, to go down as a team, as a, you know, of guys putting the ball in the end zone, not offensively, is something that's big. You know, I look at the it's something in the defensive meeting room with the turnovers in a season, and it's 66 by the San Diego Chargers. How does that happen? You know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't happen by accident, I'm pretty sure. You know, those guys bought into it, and every opportunity probably came their way. They wanted details and just making things happen when, you know, the numbers call. So You know, as a defense, you know, when you get 9 takeaways and, you know, you score on them, it's just something that you look back on that season as far as, you know, you probably have plenty more seasons, but you look back at that particular season and say, hey, we were something special, and, you know, you want to be a part of that.
Yeah, you already are. I mean, when the president of the United States, and we know he's a Bears fan, but when the president of the United States is singling out the Bears defense, specifically your teammate Charles Tillman, I mean, man, that's something.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see Bush doing that when
it
came to the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Roach, Hayden, Bears All Access. When we come back, I want to hit some other topics that have been discussed this week in regards to your home field and why it's a big deal. I would think it helps you. Well, we'll discuss next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears Insider, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and Bears head coach Luffy Smith, airs Monday nights at 7 p.m. on our sister station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. With Nick Roach and Kelvin Hayden here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It seems like every year something comes up this time of year. November hits. By the way, I think since Lovie Smith became head coach in 2004, the Bears in November, December, and January regular season games 22 and 14 at home. So something works along the lakefront, and I know people keep ripping the field. Lovie Smith today called it a home field advantage for the Bears. You know, you've had players on your team complain about it, saying it's too soft. J.J. Watt was quoted after the game saying that, you know, he couldn't get his footing right. I mean, it's not easy. There's a challenge there, a trick to it. But do you feel like it helps you out, or do you want them to take the whole thing out and put field turf back there?
Please don't. I love it. You know, I think the elements and being on natural grass that can get messed up sometimes and be slippery when it rains, I think is just all a part of being in a football game. Especially when you got to play special teams, you know, Kelvin, he's been playing defense his whole life, but you know, when you got to block guys that are running full speed and it's a chance that he might slip and you can grab onto him, that helps a lot. It goes a long way.
I'm learning to love it. You know, I truly agree that it is a home field advantage, but I've been playing for dome teams my whole career. This is my first time playing for outdoor teams.
It's a huge adjustment,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it's definitely an adjustment. When I first got here, I did a lot of slipping. Yeah. But like I said, I'm adjusting. I'm learning to love it.
With Kelvin Hayden and Nick Roach here. Now, so give us an idea of what's the difference, because you've played on both surfaces as your home field. What's the biggest difference that you've noticed in terms of just your movements because of it?
Well, like Nick was saying, guys slipping. I mean, you know, as everyone's seen Sunday night, you know, the raining game and, you know, the conditions on the field got kind of nasty. But in Atlanta and Indianapolis, if it was raining outside, it'd be a great day indoors, you know.
Right.
So, but as far as the body movements and things like that, you don't have to worry about slipping and things. If you slip in the indoor field, it's your fault.
Right.
But, here, you know, at Soldier Field, if you slip, it may be your fault, and it may be just, you know, the field. But, you know, we don't use that as an excuse. We, you know, it's, you know, you got to understand the conditions, you got to understand the field that you're playing with, and you just got to keep your feet under you.
But it can lead to more takeaways, I would imagine. Like, for example, remember when you guys played Steve Smith? He slipped. Tim Jennings, bam, right there, because it's a timing route, catches the ball, pick six.
Yeah. At the end of the day, honestly, when it rains, everybody gets wet. You know, so both teams are on the same field. It's not like they pull out a nicer field for our offense when they're out. So, you know, it's just – but I think that it is just a – it's a home field advantage because we know what to expect out of it.
Yeah.
Other teams coming in. You know, Houston, I don't know when they've been here last.
2004 was 12 degrees. They did win. But, you know, the Bears – that season the Bears had some issues offensively. Scored 231 points the whole season. You've already surpassed that 9 games into this one, so it's a very different team.
It's big.
Yeah, ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered during the Bears Game Night live TV broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you will receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card, so use the hashtag BearsToyota. Do you often hear guys on the other team talking about the field?
Yes.
So that's good. Once it's in your head, it's a good thing.
Yes.
I mean, you're not going to win every game. I mean, the Texans are a really good team. So, but you look at overall, it's got to help.
Yeah, I'm a true believer of that. I remember we playing the Lions, and one of my former teammates was talking about the field. He said, "Man, why is this grass so high? And it's so loose. Like, I was like, this is bear weather. this is for us. Like, you know, so, you know, like I said, it does have its advantages. And, you know, us as Bears, we appreciate it.
Yeah, and I will say this. I know you grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, Nick grew up in Milwaukee. You guys are cold weather guys. That doesn't mean you enjoy playing in the cold. Oh, no. I mean, I know Lovie Smith likes to talk about it. I think, and a lot of people, you know, their eyes roll up when they hear Lovie Smith talk about it. But I don't think he's talking about it for fans on the radio. He's making it a point because he knows that video is going to be shown in the visiting city, mm-hmm. and they're going to play it over and over again. You know, I was doing all these radio interviews in Houston mm-hmm. last week. Every question's about, oh, man, that weather up in Chicago is going to be a little tough. Yeah. I mean, like, sort of rain a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, Nick, you know that's nothing.
Nothing at all. I know. But it is, when you get a when your reputation precedes you that far, like you said, it's already in your head, so – you know, that's going to fill up a lot of your thoughts where you should be thinking about something else.
But, I mean, you got to play in San Diego. You got to play in a dome, Kelvin, and then you come here. So it does take a little bit of an adjustment period.
Yeah, back in Atlanta, where it was around this time, it's probably 65, 70 degrees.
San Diego. They don't even got, there's no indoor in San Diego.
But
it never rains in Southern California.
They don't need one.
Yeah,
fair weather.
Exactly.
Yeah,
just straight up. Outside.
But again, you would take away a huge part of what makes the trip to Soldier Field an advantage for the Bears if you put a dome on top of the stadium.
I agree. Okay. Don't do it.
You know, like, but I know what you guys are thinking. You know, you want the creature comforts, but that's not always going to happen.
Right.
All right, we got to say goodbye, right? So, man, I could talk to you guys for another hour. I know you and you would probably want to play three more RU with Bears Authority games over the next hour. But thank you so much. Hope to visit with you guys soon. And good luck against the 49ers. Huge, huge game Monday night.
Appreciate it.
James.
Sorry, bro.
For Kelvin Hayden and Nick Roach, our producer Greg Miller, Paul Zerang to help us blast through the speakers of your radio and everyone in our downtown studios, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Sports Authority and has been sponsored by Toyota and Verizon.